We're in a series called Real, Living a Life of Transparency, and this is our last sermon in this series. Next week we start a series called Nailed, 3 weeks, about the cross, and I want you to get it nailed, amen? And we're going to talk about that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting and encouraging. Last sermon today in this series on Make It Real, and here's a song that Joy came across, and it talks about somebody that might be looking at you and me. And they've done the church thing, or they've looked at it, and they've been really disappointed by what they've seen. Can you relate? Say, amen? And they've seen a lot of phoniness and mess. And so this song sort of speaks from somebody's heart like that. Just listen to it. I hope I remember it. Lots of tunes going through my head right now. Seen a lot of crazy things done in your name. I know the tricks behind the magic show. I've almost thrown the towel in a time or two and walked away from everything I know, but I can't feel this emptiness inside of me, or calm the troubled waters of my mind. So if you're really out there and you're listening, then prove to me that those who seek will find. If you can just see fit to show me some of who you are, if you could shed some light into this broken sinner's heart. I need to know the truth, and I need something I can feel. I need you to make it real. There must be some good reason why you brought me here. Valleys where the shadows hover close. Down here, there's a mask to cover every face. But your sweet face, I long to see the most. So if you're really out there and you're listening, in spite of all my questions and my doubts, then let me hear your still small voice speak out my name, and let me know what others talk about. If you can just see fit to show me some of who you are, if you could shed some light into this broken sinner's heart. I need to know the truth, and I need something I can feel. I need you to make it real. I need to know the truth, and I need something I can feel. I need you it real. Talking about being real. How many, be honest, you felt yourself a little uncomfortable in some of the sermons lately here at Fellowship? I mean, because some soul searching or a little bit like that been happening, just a little. I've been getting some emails and letters, not complaining, thanking me for pushing you, making you look a little deeper, making you look at some things. Well, today, we're going to look at some stuff. All right, y'all ready to go? Say, amen? Time to let's go. We're rolling. That's the plan. Real, living a life of transparency. What's this series been about? It's been looking at the life of the man Simon Peter. Okay? Here's the guy that, you know, said, I'll never deny you, and denied Jesus three times. Here's the guy that said, I'll die for you. Everybody else will leave you. I won't. He did. Here's a guy that chopped off some guy's ear in the garden with a machete. All right? This is that guy. It's a guy that, you know, so big on his mouth, but he didn't follow it with his feet. You know? And he finally just pitched it all and said, I'm going back fishing. I'm going with what I know. Even though he had seen the risen Lord, it seemed like he just couldn't handle it, man. And Jesus came to him and said, Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then Peter, get up off your tail and follow me, man. Because we got work to do. I'm only going to be here a short while, Jesus said, and I'm going back to the Father. You're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And Peter did something. Boy, he got up, didn't he? He got up. He stood up. He spoke up. He gave up. And last week we saw he was filled up. Amen? He received the fire of the Holy Spirit, the living God in his life. And he just charted a whole new course, didn't he? God was changed. It's crazy. He was real. Does being filled with the Holy Spirit and being on fire and doing all those things, does that mean you've got it all and you've arrived? Say, as long as you got this flesh, you got mess. And that takes us to this message today. I've never preached a message on this subject in my 23 years of preaching, and today's new ground. Let's go. I'm going to open up a can of worms today. Amen? I'm going to open it up. Let's look at it. Keep moving, Raj. Here we go. Peter couldn't hide from it, and neither you and I. See, God put Peter in the Bible, I believe, to let you see there's this real rascal. He's got skin, he's got flesh, and you know what? He's got some problems. And if he was one of my main guys, don't think you're not going to have problems and have struggles. But just don't let that be an excuse either. Amen? And you got a guy you can look at, and you can see he made it, and you can make it. So let's go with it. Today we're going to do some serious, say it with me, come on, real soul searching. Going to do some real soul searching. And I need your help this message this morning. I'm wore out already, so I hope you'll hang in here with me. Real soul searching this morning. We're going to look at prejudice. Say that with me. Prejudice. Come on, help me here. Say it with me. Prejudice. We're going to look at it today. I can't believe the preacher's going to talk about prejudice, and he's a southerner. I sure am. Sure am. Okay, we're going to talk about it this morning. Prejudice. What does it mean? It means to prejudge somebody. It means to have an opinion about somebody without an adequate basis. And you can get these opinions from when you were a kid. You can get it from your friends. You can get it from your family. And so you just have your big, bad opinion without any adequate basis. You think it's adequate because that's who you've been hanging with. That's what they've been saying. But it's without an adequate basis. Prejudice. Keep looking. So often we prejudge somebody based on this. It's just no-brainers. Race. Okay? That's the one that comes to mind. Keep looking. Quick. Religion. Gender. She's a girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Age. Stop right there a minute. Age. That's what we have here a lot in Englewood. We got old people in Englewood that can't stand young people. I can't stand them young people. That's why I moved down here, to get away from young people. Well, you know, Jesus has a sick joke he's playing on you old people. Here's what he says. He says, unless you're like a little kid, you're not even going to enter the gates. And by the way, he said, that's what the kingdom of heaven's like. So you better enjoy Englewood, because heaven ain't like that. You hearing me? Amen. That's the truth. But wait a minute, the shoe fits on the other foot. And I'm going to say something. I know it's not going to sound nice, but you got young people, middle-aged people, that call old people old farts. I thought I'd never say that in church. I thought I'd never say it in church. Is that true or not? Say. And I'm talking about just like the way they drive. They come down here taking all this time. And so you got this stuff going on. You got this hatred thing happening. Are you hearing me? Say. There is enough hate in Englewood and Southwest Florida without it coming from Fellowship Church. Are you hearing me say? There's enough hate out there without it coming from the body of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me say? That's what we're talking about today. Prejudice. So many things that we look at, some other ones here. A couple of appearance.
You know, we'll prejudge somebody. Oh, they're nice looking. They'll be my friend. How about that ugly rascal? How about you? I'm sorry. Excuse me. Financial status. That guy that's got the money. Ooh, I'll cozy up to him and be his friend. That poor boy, they ain't got two dimes to rub together. Oh, you sit over here. That's what James says. It's a disgrace. James says, you say to the rich guy, well, sit here. You say to the poor guy, sit down here on my footstool. Prejudging people. Last one that I popped up this morning is sexual behavior. There's one group of people that it's still cool in conservative churches in America to hate, and that's homosexuals and lesbians. Are you hearing me this morning? Hey, I believe that behavior is immoral. Not a problem. It's immoral. Why do I believe that? Because that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible is my moral compass. Are you hearing me? But equally, I think somebody that runs around cheats on their wife, cheats on their husband. That's immoral. Are you hearing me say? But it's still cool in the church today to hate homosexuals, hate lesbians. Who's going to win them to Jesus? Say, who's going to do that? Is that you or me or some angel going to come do it? Say, help me here. Are you hearing me this morning? Say, we just jumped right out of the gate, didn't we? Okay. We're talking about being prejudiced today. And if you're going to be honest and you're going to be real, if you're going to be real, you're going to have to do some serious soul searching. You might have one of these or two of these or three of these covered and you're okay. But you need to look down deep inside of you and say, the people that you have a problem with, how would Jesus feel? Would he do that? Would he feel that way? You know the answer is no. And so we've got to get there, man. And there are people that God's going to bring in our path and they're going to see us as we're phony as the day is long. You might look good before the Baptist brother. Amen? Or the Pentecostal sister. You might look good, but how are you looking to the lost man? Isn't that what it's about? Say, let's look, let's move. I got to get off this. We'll be here forever. Being real means we must acknowledge that we haven't arrived yet. Say it with me. I haven't arrived yet. One more time. I haven't arrived yet. I think to the day you die, you're going to have to keep digging up mess inside of you. Are you hearing me? You got to keep digging it up. You got to get it out of you. Let's look at some scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Say that last part with me. Behold, all things are become new. Now that word, become new, is in the present tense. What does that mean? Here's what that verse means. When you come to Jesus, old things are passed away. You're saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he don't hit you on the head with no wand. I'm new now, I'm new now, I'm new now. I don't hate people anymore. I don't have these problems anymore in my life. You know, I love old people now. Isn't that great? Yeah. Uh-uh. That ain't how it works, baby. That word's in the present tense. It means all things are becoming new. That means I ain't arrived yet. There's mess inside. And the beautiful thing is, I can look back over my life and I can see progress. Amen? I can see where I used to be and where I'm at. And that gives me encouragement to know God has something great for my life. Even better. You haven't arrived yet. We can't get to the place where we feel that way. Keep looking. Sometimes you go 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Say that with me. 3 steps and 2 steps. And that's life. That's life. We go 3 steps forward with some of these issues. And then a lot of times we take 2 steps back. But the way I check it, I'm still 1 step forward. Amen? So let's look at it today. Here we go. We're rolling. Let's take a look at Peter. We're back to Peter now. He's moving forward. Why are you talking about this, Clark? Is this in the Bible? It's so much in the Bible that I had a hard time getting it in one message. So we've really got to go in warp speed right now. Just with the man Peter. What was Peter's nationality? He was a Jew. Now Jews were told by God, you are my chosen people. Man, that's a great way to be a prejudiced person. Amen. Who are you? Well, I'm God's chosen people. Sorry. Matter of fact, the Jews called anybody that wasn't a Jew, they were called Gentiles, which meant what? Dogs. So there was something, I mean, he had stuff deep down in him, man. This was the way he was brought up. And even though he wasn't brought up with probably the most devout, serious Jews, he was from Galilee, he still had this stuff in him, man. It was all in him. I'm the chosen person. I'm the chosen person. All these people are dogs. All these people are dogs. And yet he's saved. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's preaching the word. But he's got this mess in him, and God's got to get it out of him. And here's what he did. Let's look at it. He's moving three steps forward. Acts 10, 1 through 6. We've got a lot of scripture. Try to turn there if you want to, or just watch along with us. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. I always like the way it says that, the Italian band. A devout man, one that feared God. So Cornelius was a devout man, but he was not a Jew. He was of the what band? Italian band. He was a Gentile. He was a dog. He was a devout man. He was one that feared God with his house, which gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on the angel, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. So he's having this vision thing with his angel and speaking to him. And here's what happens. The angel says, send men to Joppa. He's in Caesarea on the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa is also on the Mediterranean Sea, but a good ways away. Send men to Joppa. Call for one who, say it with me, Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, who is a tanner, whose house is by the seaside in Joppa. He shall tell you what you're supposed to do. Isn't that a good story? I mean, I love the Bible. The story continues on. So you got this happening in Cornelius' house. Beautiful thing about God. He can be working in somebody's house over here, and he can be working in your house at the same time. And you not even know what's going on. Amen? And he's going to bring you together. And that's what happens in this story. Keep looking. Verse 9. Now on the morrow, as they went on their journey down to Joppa, to Simon Tanner's house, trying to find Simon Peter, they drew nigh into the city. And when they were doing this, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour would be about noon, right? Jewish time starts at 6 a.m. Why'd he go up on the housetop? I've done it myself in Joppa. Because it's beautiful. It sets up on a hill. Beautiful city. Little town. Art. Remember all the arts, the art people that are out there doing their arts? And you sit on top of that house because you can look at the Mediterranean Sea and look down on the city and the shops. And Peter, it'd be a nice place to do lunch. So he goes up there on top of the house to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very what? Hungry. And he would have eaten, but while they made ready for his food, he fell into a trance. I know it's crazy. So he had some kind of vision. And he saw heaven open in his vision, and a certain vessel came down upon him as it had been a great sheet, like a sheet, knit at four corners. And it let down to the earth, wherein on this sheet were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowl of the air. Now, Jews had a problem with eating, didn't they say? Certain things they didn't eat, did they? Right? Ain't gonna eat certain things. Don't be bringing me any pig. No ham sandwiches. Amen? Don't bring me that shrimp. Amen? None of that stuff. They didn't eat certain things. And there came a voice to him, so he sees the sheep with all these crazy things he doesn't eat. And a voice says to him in his vision, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter, he's having a nightmare. This is a Jewish nightmare is what this is. This is not a good dream. Okay? He says, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. It was such a bad dream. Watch it. The voice spake unto him the second time, what God cleansed, thou call not common. God spoke to him. He said, this is crazy. I can't eat this mess. Don't you call anything I've made common or unclean. Now watch it. Say it with me. This was done what? Three times. I mean, because Peter like, He's tossing and turning, man. You know? The vessel was received up again into heaven. Now watch it. Now, while Peter doubted it himself, I guess, man, that won't write. That ain't Bible. While he doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house, and they stood at the gate. So they're already at the gate. Keep looking. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was he lodged there? They asked. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, there are three men at the gate. All right, there are men that seek you right outside. Whoa, this is wild. And he wasn't smoking anything. Okay? Acts 10:23, look at it. Then called he them in. How many would have done the same thing? If you'd had one in the room and all of a sudden God said somebody's at the door and there's somebody at the door, you'd have called them in, wouldn't you? Come on. You want to see what's going to happen. So he called them in. He lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went where? With them. Back where? To Caesarea, to Cornelius' house. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. There were other men, believers, Jewish believers, who went with him. Are y'all with me so far? Say. I thought this might bore you to tears. We're trying. Okay? Let's keep looking. On the morrow, after he entered Caesarea, he's made the trip. Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. Isn't that awesome, say? Cornelius said, man, you got to come to my house tomorrow. There's a man of God. Something's happening. Somebody's coming. He called his kinsmen. He called people that were close to him. Come on. Boy, wouldn't that be good if we did that, say? Man, when you found a pearl of greatest price, you ought to tell people about it. Amen. And that's what he did. Cornelius didn't even know the whole picture, but man, he's trying to get people to come with him. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius, he's a mighty man, this guy. He met him, say it with me. He fell down at his what? Feet. And what did he do? He worshiped him. And here's a guy Peter thought was a dog. Amen. Here's a guy Peter thought was a dog. And because Peter did what God said, the guy fell down at his feet. Is there some group of people you hate out there? You don't like? You just never know. If you love them, they might fall down. Amen? They might fall down. Now, what the guy did wasn't right. He fell down and worshiped him. Amen? I've had people like that in my life before. I've shared the gospel with them, and they just think I hung the moon. I ain't hung no moon. But because of such a change in their life, they just love me for some strange reason. It's because of Jesus. Amen? It's because of Jesus. Okay? So let's keep looking. What happens here? I want you to say real soul searching with me. Real soul searching. One more time. Real soul searching. I want to put up some things I saw right fast. Pop it up, Raj. Real help for prejudiced Christians. I'm going to finish telling this story in this part of the message right here. And I want you to see six things I saw in the scripture that will help you with your prejudice and me with my prejudice. Here it is. Let's keep watching the story. Look at it. Pop it. But Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. When you're prejudiced and you got that crap in you, listen to me. Listen to me. Say that with me. Say it. And this is what you're going to tell somebody you prejudice. Won't you say it in your heart? Come on. I'm a man, just like you. When you feel like that about somebody, they're not as good as you. Let that ring in your head. They're a man just like me. Look at the next thing. That's what Peter told him. Verse 28. He said unto them, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company, to come in unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any what? Man, common, or unclean. Second thing that'll help you. Say it with me. I shall not call any man common or unclean. I think that'll help us. Amen? Look at the third thing. And this guy, Peter, was full of this stuff, man. He was a Jew. I mean, this was crazy. He was a leader. Peter was a leader. What are people going to think of me? This was hard on him. Look at it. and said, Cornelius, he said to Cornelius, your prayer is heard. Your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Verse 35, in every nation, he that fears him, God, and works righteousness is accepted with God. Here's the third thing to help you with prejudice. Say it with me. God will hear the prayers of any man or woman, boy or girl. Amen? God's God and you ain't. Amen? He hears prayer. Yeah, but you got to do it this way. You got to say it that way. You got to do that. No! You just got to please Him. He knows the heart. Amen? We might look at them and they look horrible. They look terrible. They look like crazy people. Guess what? He says, let me tell you something. You can't see it all, Jack. I'm seeing right into their heart and I'm hearing everything they're saying. Amen? Look at this next one. The story goes on. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Say that fourth one with me. It'll help you. God is no respecter of. So when this stuff starts coming up in you, are you hearing me? Peter's helping us. Peter's real. We're seeing his transformation right before our eyes. It's amazing. Look at the next thing. Verse 42. He commanded us, Peter talking, God commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Here's the fifth thing I saw that'll help you. Remember this. Say it with me. God is the not. Amen? Isn't that what we're doing when we have prejudice in our heart? Aren't we standing in judgment over people? Say. This isn't easy. Number six. Verses 43 through 45. To him give all the prophets witness, Peter says God has done, that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Now watch what happened. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. This was wild. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jewish believers, which believed and they were with Peter, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, the dogs, also was poured out the gift of what? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Number six, God will save, say it with me, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ. Would you say those six things with me right again so we can get them down in our spirit? Here it is. Say it with me. I'm a man just like you. I shall not call any man common or unclean. God will hear the prayers of any man. God is no respecter of persons. God is the judge, not me. God will save whosoever believes in Jesus Christ. I tell you what, you put that in your pipe and smoke on it a little bit, it'll get down in you. It'll change you. It'll start working in you. Let's keep moving. We've got to fly forward. Here we go. We're not done. We go what? Three steps forward and what? How many? But Peter went three forward, didn't he? Woo! Look at me, baby! Matter of fact, he was so excited. He went to the church. He wasn't really that excited, probably, going to the church of Jerusalem. But he was called to the church of Jerusalem, where headquarters were, in a council meeting. Because they had heard Gentiles were being saved. Gentiles were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they weren't keeping the Mosaic law. They weren't being circumcised. If you don't know what circumcision is, it's done to males. And it has to do with their private area. And it's not something that is really pleasant. Especially after you're grown. It's all right when you're in the hospital or 6 days old or 3 days or whatever. That's fine. This is a problem. And that, you know, I can't believe these guys aren't circumcised and they're part of the church. So there's a big meeting. Look at it. In Acts 15, watch it real fast. We're going to read the scripture. So they're having this big meeting. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them, what God was doing. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, say it with me, which believed, saying that it was needful, say it with me, to what? Circumcise them. What? Who, me? It ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? Come on, all right? And to command them to keep the law of Moses. Can anybody keep all the law of Moses? No, man, it's tough stuff. That's hard enough to build a church, all right? And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. Say this line with me. And when there had been much what? They were fighting like cats and dogs. No, they're... Wow. Peter rose up. Say that with me. Peter rose up. And he said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my own mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows their hearts, he bare them witness. He gave them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you tempting God to put a yoke upon their neck of these new disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? We haven't been able to keep the law, and you're going to try to make them do it? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, say it with me, we shall be saved, even as they. Aren't you proud of Peter? Say, come on, let's give Peter a hand. Come on, we need to give Peter a hand. All right, Peter, hand. Come on. All right, Peter. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great story? Guess what? We're not done. In case you're patting yourself on the back because you're not prejudiced anymore, we ain't done. Keep looking. Sounds good, don't it? We're rolling. He got it nailed, right? Say it with me. Wrong. This is something you're going to have to work on till the day you die. There's just something inside our hearts that doesn't want to like certain people. And when we get to liking this one group, it seems like Satan put something else in there, or there's something else in there we need to dig up. Another rock we need to turn over. Are you hearing me? Prejudice. Let's look at it. Two steps back. Peter had gone forward, baby. Look at me. Yeah. Uh-oh. Look at what happened. Galatians. A lot of scripture this morning. 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. This is Paul writing. Paul was at that meeting in Jerusalem. He was there when Peter stood up. Because Paul had been reaching Gentiles for Jesus. But 14 years had passed. And by the way, when Titus was there, who was a Gentile, he didn't have to get circumcised. So 14 years passes now, and what happens? Look at verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, which is northern Syria, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. Here's the Apostle Paul, standing upright to Peter's face. And you just didn't stand up to Peter. Was Peter a man to chop your head off with an axe or something? Say, he done proved he could do that. He was a rock, man. He was the man. Paul withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. What's this talking about? Keep looking. I'm not far away. Hang in here. For before that certain came from James. What does that mean? James was the pastor and leader at Jerusalem. There was some men that had come from Jerusalem up to Antioch. They were Jewish believers who believed that you had to be circumcised. They wouldn't let the thing die. They wouldn't leave it alone. And 14 years had passed, and now they're coming up to Antioch. Because that's where Peter's at. And Peter was there, and he was eating with the Gentiles. Peter was eating with them. He was fellowshipping with them. These are people that had come to Christ. This is great. And look at what he did. When these that came from Jerusalem got there, what did Peter do? Say it with me. He what? Withdrew. And he separated himself from them, fearing them that were of... He didn't get anything, did he? Say. Here's these guys he's hanging with, he's loving on, he's having a good time with. And when those Jewish believers came in, he moved away from them. Boy, I wonder how they felt. Say. Let's look at what happened. Two steps to going backwards in this area of prejudice. What did he do? And you might do it often, so here I put it up for you. Number one, Peter feared. Would you say that with me? Peter feared. I have to have a little more help. I'm trying. Come on. Two things. What is it for you, comfort or conflict? What is it? Why don't you stand and do the right thing as it regards to people? Cut off your phone. Amen? Thank you. Come on, listen. We're right down here where it matters. Okay? What is it? Comfort or conflict? Peter wanted to be comfortable, didn't he? If you're going to deal with some of this mess, you're going to have some conflict. But I can't, my family, they're just this way, and my friends, they're just this way. Then you know what? You need to stand up and do the right thing. All right, say. I didn't want to get into this, but I'm going to do it. There's a preacher in Fort Myers. I won't even have any fellowship with him. You know why? It's not a problem for that man to use the N-word. Here's a preacher of the gospel. Pathetic. And the old Gary wants to come out and just pop him in the mouth. Are you hearing me say? We ought to live to a higher standard. It's sickening. That stuff way down inside of me. And hey, quite frankly, that's the way I used to be. And the Holy Spirit of the living God has got in my life. And no, I ain't arrived yet. Amen? But boy, I get off on this. It bothers me. Don't do that. Are you hearing me say? Nothing out of our mouth, whether it's race or somebody's religion. Why out of our mouth have we got to put them down? Say, come on. Comfort or conflict? You know what I choose? I'm going to choose the conflict. I know I open up can. I expect some of you not to come back after this message. Go find your nice little church where you can sit there and be real comfortable then. It's not my job to make you feel comfortable. It's my job to preach the Word of God. Amen? And lay it out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. Carry the cross or carry an attitude? I choose the cross. Amen? If I got an attitude in me about somebody else, here's how you can get over it. Nail it to the cross. I'm wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. That's a sin. Carry that cross, even if it means other people are not going to hang with you. Okay? Keep looking. I know this ain't easy. That's why I'm doing it. If we're going to be real, though, Peter failed. That's his step two backwards. He failed. Watch it. He separated and withdrew himself from Gentile believers. He failed. He failed. Okay? Why did he fall? Why did he fail? See if you don't agree with me. Peer pressure. Say, amen? Number two, he wanted to keep the peace. Oh, no, if I said anything like that, you know, if I stood up for these folks or if I tried to do the right thing there, I ain't going to keep the peace. I'm just going to stir the pot. You know what Paul said? I don't care about that peace mess if it doesn't mean standing for the truth. Amen? And I think that's important. Look at the last one. Because of pride, Peter, what will they think of me? Oh, these guys that just came from Jerusalem, they've just been with James. Oops, I got to slide over this way. Yeah. My pride. Now, here's the big deal. If it can happen to Peter, you don't think it can happen to Clark? You don't think it can happen to Lutz? Say, come on. It can happen to us, friend. Keep looking. Galatians 2:13, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And the other Jews, the Jewish believers that were there with Peter, they dissembled likewise with him. They moved away from him too. Insomuch, say it with me, that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Third point, Peter feared, Peter failed. Others what? Followed. I do not want you to follow me into hating people. I do not want you to follow me into putting people down. I don't want it to be to say, oh, that Pastor Clark, that's the way he feels about them folk too. Lord help us, amen? Others followed. They feared and they failed. Keep looking. Even Barnabas, why did I put that there? Who was Barnabas? Somebody tell me. He was Paul's what? He was Paul's partner in ministry. What does Barnabas' name mean? Son of consolation. It means what? Encourager. Paul lost his encouragement because one man, who was a good man, didn't do the right thing. Isn't that sad, say? Verse 11 again, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Paul withstood him to his face. Why? Because he is to be blamed. Why am I giving this message today? Because Clark is to be blamed. And if I'm to be blamed, you're probably to be blamed. Amen? You know, it's okay. I mean, and it's in the Bible. And we're talking about Peter, and you can't shut the book on Peter without talking about this. Keep looking. Paul rebuked Peter for his phoniness. He couldn't stand it, man. Truth, say that with me. Truth matters more than. Say it again with me. Truth matters more than. Truth matters more than peace. If right is right, then do right. If it's right to do, then do right. If it's wrong, don't do anything with it. Amen? If it's inside of you and there's something there, this prejudice thing, it's wrong, man. Dig it out. Confess it to the Lord. Truth matters more than peace. Paul was a freedom fighter, baby. He was a freedom fighter. He stood right up. Was it popular for Paul to do what he did say? He stood right. Did he do it privately or to his face? Say it to me. To his face. Was that comfortable or was that causing some conflict? Was that carrying a cross? We're not going to give this. You can go to the web and find it. We're just going to rattle through it, Raj. Peter's prejudice denied five things. When you're prejudiced against people, it's not you're not getting away with it. You're denying the Bible. You're denying Scripture. And you're going to stand before God in judgment one day, and you're going to be judged for these five things. At least Peter was. He denied the unity of the church. There's nobody in this building that can say they're better than somebody else. That denies the unity of the body. Are y'all with me? Say. Read the Scriptures later. Number two, it denies justification by faith alone. If a guy's got to be a certain age or a certain color to trust Jesus, then you're denying justification by faith alone, aren't you? Say. Amen? If it means certain people couldn't have committed certain sins to be saved, you're denying justification by faith alone, aren't you? Say. You see? Look at number three. You can read all about it in the Bible. It's right there. You're denying freedom from the law. If you're saying people have got to cut their hair this way, they got to wear a tie. They can't wear them women. Them women can't wear no slacks. You're denying freedom from the law. Amen? Come on. Number five. I know y'all think we're crazy if y'all ain't been to church much, because this goes on in church. Come on. You're denying the all-sufficiency of Christ. It's Christ's job to save. Christ alone can save. He can save to the guttermost. Amen? Say that with me. He can save to the guttermost. He is great at pulling people that are nasty, baby, people like your preacher, out of the gutter and saving them and setting their feet on a rock and cleaning them up. Hallelujah. Amen? He can do it. He specializes in that. Don't limit him. It's going to make him mad at you. I'm telling you right now, you deny the grace of God. I thought I could just have these attitudes and get away with them. You think you're going to get away with denying God's grace? Say yes or no. Wow. This has been rough. How many feel like you've been rough, beat up on today? I love you. I'm just like you. Worse. What happened? We're done. I know it went a little long. How did Peter deal with Paul's rebuke? Watch it. He took it like a man of God. And if you can't take this, you're a baby. You're a whiner. You ought to take the Scripture and what we've said today, take it like a man of God. Amen? That's how you'll grow. Instead of arguing with the Bible, take it like a man of God. Amen? Come on. You can make it. You can change. God wants you to do some soul searching. You can be different. You can grow, man. Take it like a man. How do I know he took it like a man? Listen to his last words that Peter gave us in the Bible. Here's Peter's last words he ever gave. Now, if you're going to write some last words, what would you say? Here's what Peter said. Watch it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. Say it with me. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish, Peter said. Don't ever think that he is. He wants to save everybody, no matter what they're going through, no matter what their life's like. God wants them all. He's greedy, amen? He wants them all, baby. Look at the next thing. He's closing out his life. But in the day of the Lord, it will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know what Peter says? Remember what kind of person you ought to be. You hear me? You're a Christian. You put your faith in Christ. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Watch your conduct. Watch the way you talk to other people. Are you hearing me say? Peter goes on. He's finishing his life. The end of this book. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, listen, seeing that you look for such things, look, be diligent that you may be found of him in what? Peace, without what? And what? Peter says, come on, don't be like me. Listen, don't be like me. Don't be blamed. Don't have that spot on you. Are you hearing me? Come on. How do I know he got it? Keep looking. Last words. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as, say it with me, our beloved brother, what's his name? According to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto to you. Remember the long suffering of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. When you're looking down your nose at somebody, when you don't think they can make it, when you don't think they measure up, listen, remember the long suffering of our God is salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody in the building today, God really had to have long suffering when he went after you? Can I see your hand? Come on. Some long suffering right there. Remember that. Oh, that helps you. And he remembered Paul, and he keeps writing about him. Watch it. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What does Peter say? Beware lest you be led away and you fall. Are you hearing him say? Are you hearing the man today? The real man, Peter? He took it like a man. Changed his life, didn't it? It did. Beware. Last thing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter says, grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Get that other mess out of you. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. That's what will clean up that old wicked heart and get some of that mess out. Are you hearing me this morning? Making any sense to anybody? Last thing. Peter got it. Say that with me. Peter. One more time. Peter. How about you? How about you? Did you get it today? Did you get it today? Some of you may have slept. I don't know. But if I could take an audience like this, and in this audience, we could have a half a dozen of us, amen, that sort of felt something inside our spirit today, and we're going to go out of here and we're going to love people. What kind of people are we supposed to love, preacher man? All people. Amen? Let's love them today.